It's a blessing to be here. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to those here and also to those online. Or the title of my message is Caring for the Community, Health and Holiness. In this message, I want to stress 2 points. Number one, what the Torah says about sickness, and we'll talk a lot about quarantine and even a little bit about covering the lip and whatnot. Number two, the concern and well-being that we should have for one another and how that really feeds into, again, caring for the community or caring for the assembly. You know, as we'll see in a few moments, Yahweh's word has a lot to say about sickness and maintaining good health. Might be surprised. And again, I want to stress today that as believers, we should be following these commandments. And notice I said commandments. These are not recommendations. These are not guidelines. These are not things we can do, but maybe shouldn't do. No, these are commandments we find within the Word, and we'll see that. Again, many don't realize the value of Yahweh's Word in everyday life, and yet we find so many grand lessons throughout His truth. He's given us everything we need within His Word, including, again, as we're going to talk about today, maintaining good health and avoiding sickness. Now, we're not going to focus or even talk about the clean foods, but even that is an example of good health and how to maintain good health. Now, some of you may be asking, what is the motivation behind this message? As many of you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is only a few short weeks away, about 3 weeks away. This feast is 8 days in duration, and during this time we have many here. Normally we have about 200 people here, and it becomes very busy. There's a lot of people here. Now, in addition to the feast being a great opportunity for worship and fellowship, it's also a great opportunity for spreading germs and sickness, as many of us know. Especially when we ignore these sound biblical principles that we find in the Word. What I'm hoping to gain through this message is better awareness. And that's key, better awareness. What does the Bible say about sickness and how to avoid it? Especially when we're gathered to worship Yahweh. I want to talk about a situation that I've seen for many years during these special times and why I believe it is, why we see this occurring. I've seen many examples over the years where people who are knowingly sick, so not maybe sick, knowingly sick, who choose still to fellowship as if they were healthy. And as a result, as you might suspect, I've seen sickness spread throughout the assembly, negatively impacting the feast for many. Now, I want to make a point here and say that this includes everybody. This includes us as adults and also our kids. Believe it or not, kids have germs, and they too can spread germs. So why do we see this happening? Well, I think the answer is pretty simple. And that is, we all want to have fun, right? We all want to fellowship. We all want to have fun. And sometimes this is at the detriment of others. And listen, I know it's hard not to fellowship. I know it's hard not to have fun, especially for the kiddos and those who travel afar. I know some of you folks, you're coming from across the country, driving 18 hours to be here. The last thing you want to do is sit in a dorm room or sit in a tent and not do anything at all but get well. But getting well is what we should do. And quarantining is what we should do. As believers, we should first consider the needs of others before our own needs. And I'm going to talk more about that as we go through this message, but especially when it means jeopardizing the health of those around us. It's not a real complicated concept, really. But if we're not feeling well, we should be, as we're going to find, we should be quarantining or isolating ourselves from others. So as believers, if we're not feeling well, we should avoid others, as we will see in the Word. Even though this may be hard, especially again for the young people, and I know it's hard. I have kids too. It's very hard with kids because kids want to have fun, and I get it. And nobody wants to neglect their kids from having fun. Or again, maybe you're a kid at heart, and you've traveled 17 hours to be here, and you want to have fun too, and you want to fellowship, and again, the last thing you want to do is stay 8 days, or hopefully not 8 days, but some of the feast in your tent or dorm room. But again, we'll see from the word, this is what we should be doing. So I want to share with you now what Yahweh's word says about sickness and how we can avoid it. It's actually very, very easy to understand. I want to begin with Leviticus 13, beginning in verse 45. So begin our journey there. So for two verses here, 45 and 46, it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip." Notice that, upper lip. Not the bottom lip, the upper lip. "And shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone." Sounds like quarantine to me. "Without the camp shall his habitation be." So many people gloss over passages like this one, especially when leprosy today is almost unheard of. We don't have a leprosy season here anymore. For me, though, here's an important part that I believe we should understand. This is more than leprosy. And this is speaking about how we deal with sickness in general, especially when we're with a large group. So what are some of the lessons we find from the Torah, right? Because we're speaking about the Torah. This is not Randy's request. This is not something that we can do, but not really required. No, this is from Yahweh's word. This is a command. This is him explaining how we can avoid the spread of germs and sickness. Number one, we see here that when a person was leprous, and I would say just have sickness, they had to quarantine themselves to avoid the spreading of the sickness. Number two, we find that they were told to cover their upper lip and then to cry out, unclean, unclean. Again, even though this may be speaking about leprosy, I do believe that we can apply this to any contagious sickness, whether it's COVID, we all know about COVID, or even the cold or flu, or something more serious. So again, we see here, if we're showing signs of sickness, we should do two things. Number one, we should quarantine. And number two, it says here that if we must be out, we find here that we're to cover the upper lip. Now, in today's terminology, I'd say wear a mask. Wear a mask. And I don't believe a mask completely eliminates, but it certainly minimizes. Now, I think we all understand the reason for the quarantine. Very simple concept to understand. When we quarantine or isolate ourselves, we avoid or stop the spread of sickness. So easy to understand. So I'm not going to dwell on that because I think we all understand that. I do want to talk a little bit about what it says here about covering the upper lip and crying unclean. Why do you suppose they did this? Well, this does two things. Number one, I believe it minimizes or stops the spread of the contagion or the sickness by covering the upper lip or by wearing a mask, as we would do in today's modern world. Number two, by covering the lip and crying unclean, we are warning those around us that we are sick. That we are sick, that we are under the weather, that we don't feel well, that we're contagious. Now the case, in this case, in our case, simply wearing a mask would communicate to people, A, that we're not feeling well, and again, hopefully minimize the spread of that sickness. So wearing a mask is like saying unclean, unclean. You see, we don't have to say unclean because people see us with a mask and say, hey, that person must be sick. So we're going to avoid that person. Same concept, same accomplishment when we wear a mask. But again, the real point here is I believe we should be quarantining. Now, I want to emphasize one more time, this is a command we find within the Torah. This is not my recommendation. This is not something I'm providing from the CDC. This is something we read from Scripture. This is a command. This is a Torah command that Yahweh says when you were, of course, here it says leprous, but I believe this can be applied to any contagious sickness, whether that again be COVID or the flu or the cold or something else. If we're contagious, we should follow this as a rule of thumb. And the rule here, again, is that we are to isolate or quarantine ourselves. So this command was not only for Israel of old, but also for us. Again, everything within Yahweh's word has meaning and purpose. And that's true here. Everything Yahweh says has meaning and purpose. And the meaning here is that as believers, we should be quarantining or isolating ourselves. So the concepts we find are still very much alive and valid for our day and age, and especially during times of large gatherings when sickness spreads that much easier. Now, Leviticus 14, beginning in verse 33, we find yet another passage. And I'm going to read this from Scripture. So Leviticus 14, and as you might suspect, this also is speaking about how to avoid the spread of sickness, but a little bit different here. So verse 13, and we're going to read down to verse 48. So quite a few verses here, but I want to read for context. It says, and he shall, let's see here, Leviticus 14, 33, I'm sorry, 33. I knew that was too many verses there, 33. It says, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I will put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possessions. And he that owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is, as it were, a plague of plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go in to it to see the plague, and all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in and see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall be cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take the other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house after that he has taken away the stones, and after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goes into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lies in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eats in the house shall wash his clothes. And the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because a plague is healed. So how does this passage differ from the previous one? Where the previous one spoke about a person with leprosy, in this passage we're speaking about a house with leprosy. By the way, the photo you see on the slide here, that's a man cleaning up mold. So not quite the same, but it's the same concept here. Same concept. So what were the Israelites to do when this happened? When they were to go in, they would see some odd spots, maybe on the walls. What would they do. Or we find here, first they would empty the home of all possessions. So they would take everything out, put it out of the home. Once everything was empty, the priest would then come in, would inspect the home. If they found evidence for the plague, they would then quarantine the home for 7 days. So nobody would go in to the home for those 7 days. If a plague had spread during the 7 days, they would then remove the stones and plaster and take it outside the camp, it says, to an unclean place. So it's unclean places where they would take these unclean items and remove them from the camp. Now, after the 7 additional days, if there were still evidence of this plague, and they would replaster and all that, they would then break down the home. They would break down the home. They would take away the stones. They would take away the timber. They'd take away the mortar, the scrapings, everything. And they would, again, take all of this then outside the camp to this unclean place. But we find here if no evidence of the plague was found, the home would be deemed clean. So this is how Israel would deal with a home with leprosy. And again, I think we can apply this even to like mold and other items we still struggle with in this day and age. So how does this apply to us? Well, I believe it applies in this way. Yahweh's concerned about spreading sickness, even when we're not the contagion. You see, the people here they weren't the contagion. They weren't contagious. The house was. But Yahweh's still concerned about sickness spreading. As we see here, this included buildings, and I would add even places of worship, I believe. So how do we observe this or apply this command today? Well, I believe we do this by ensuring that our surroundings are clean, free from germs. In fact, during this feast, I'm not sure if this is exactly the term, but it's kind of a foggard. Fogs sanitizes the building. So we're going to try to do this during the feast to keep things free from germs. This is one reason why cleanup also at the feast is so important, to minimize the spread of germs and sickness. Now, Numbers 5, beginning in verse 11, we find another example of when a person had to quarantine. Numbers 5, 1 through 4 says, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and everyone that has an issue." So notice that a leper, "and everyone that has an issue." So it seems to me this is beyond just leprosy. "And whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell." And the children of Israel did so and put them out without the camp, as Yahweh spoke unto Moses. So did the children of Israel. Now, why did Yahweh command that these people be removed from the camp? Whereas we see from this example, this was to avoid the spread of sickness. They had leprosy, or they were unclean for some other reason. Number two, it says here that they defiled not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. It's not just the fact that we're jeopardizing the health of others when we refuse or decide not to quarantine. But as we see here, we are also defiling where Yahweh dwells. That's an important point, I believe. I believe this is especially relevant during the feast days, when Yahweh's presence is here and when we have many people gathered to worship. You know, before this message, my focus was simply stopping the spread of sickness. But after reading this and looking at it, I do believe there's another lesson we find here, and that's defiling Yahweh's camp, where he dwells. So you see, there's a spiritual aspect to this. It's not just stopping the spread of sickness. It's also showing respect to where Yahweh dwells and not defiling the camp where Yahweh dwells. You know, I hope we realize the gravity of this message. I hope we realize, again, that this is a command. Again, this isn't the CDC. This isn't words for me. This isn't some other organization, health organization. This is Yahweh. This is his word. And he's defining what we should and should not do when we're sick, when we have some sort of contagion, when we're not feeling well, when we can when we have germs to share. You know, some things are great to share. Some things are terrific to share. Germs is not. Germs is not. We should never want to share germs. I want to share one more example of the need to quarantine. This is kind of an interesting example here. I forgot about this example. 2 Chronicles 26, 16 through 21. This is about a king named Uzziah. Now, this guy actually did what was right in the beginning, but then he kind of fell off and did what was wrong. So it says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to Yahweh, his Elohim, and entered the temple of Yahweh to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, and 80 other courageous priests of Yahweh followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to Yahweh. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by Yahweh Elohim. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in Yahweh's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because Yahweh had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of Yahweh. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and government of the people of the land. Now, before we talk about what happened to King Uzziah here, I want to talk about why it happened. Spend just a few moments talking about why it happened. Verse 4 of this same passage, it says there that Uzziah did what was right in Yahweh's eyes. So this man began doing what was right. He was a righteous person when he began, but as we see here, something changed. What changed? His heart changed. Because of the success and power that he achieved as king, he became prideful. He became prideful. We see here that because of this pride, he attempted to offer an offering in the temple. If you remember, King Saul tried to do this, or did this, and he was condemned for it. So something, certainly Uzziah is not the first or the last. Now we find here that Uzziah, or Azariah the high priest, along with 70 other priests, stopped King Uzziah from doing this. In the end, we find that Yahweh struck this man Uzziah with a leprosy. I want to pause here and talk about pride in the example of King Uzziah. Pride. As we see in verse 4, in the beginning of his reign, this man did what was right in Yahweh's eyes. He was a righteous king. He wanted to please Yahweh. He was making good decisions. But as time went on, and after him achieving great power and prestige and success, we find that he turned away from Yahweh because of pride. As believers, we're not exempt or immune from the power and influence of pride. I believe pride is a reason for so many sins and painful situations, including even many marital situations, relationship issues. The one thing pride often prevents us from doing is repenting or seeing our own shortcomings. And that's, I think, why Yahweh hates pride, because if we're prideful, and if we have areas where we need to change, we can't see it. We can't see it because we're so prideful that we are blinded through that pride. And this man became blinded because of his pride and his arrogance. And because of that, Yahweh struck him again, as we see here, with leprosy. We also find here that pride puts a division between us and Yahweh. King Uzziah couldn't go into the temple anymore after this. He was unclean. You see, it put a separation between him and Yahweh. And when we allow pride to take root, it will put a separation between us and Yahweh. So there's a great lesson to be learned here beyond just how to deal with contagions, how to deal with sicknesses. It's also how we deal with pride and the impact of pride. This is why, again, humility is an important asset or important attribute as a believer. It doesn't matter, by the way, if you're a king, priest, minister, or just a you know, lay person. Doesn't matter. A person who forsakes humility for pride will fall. That's just the way it is. They will fall. Many ways, I believe this is especially true for those in positions of influence or power. The best example I can think of is Satan. Most people, when they think of Satan, they think of the Satan we know of today. I don't believe Satan was always a Satan of today. I believe Satan changed, kind of like Uzziah did. In the beginning, he was good, I believe, until unrighteousness was found in him. I'm going to share with you two passages providing evidence, I believe, for this. Ezekiel 28, verse 15 says, "You are blameless in your ways from the day that you were created till wickedness was found in you." So again, he was good from the beginning. But then something changed. Wickedness was found in Satan. Isaiah 14, 12 through 13 says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of El, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." So as we see here from Ezekiel and also Isaiah, there's a reason why Satan fell. And it wasn't because he wasn't perfect from the beginning, because Scripture says he was. He fell because that perfection, that beauty, and that right, it allowed pride to set in. And it changed him. And it can change us. Pride can change anybody. Pride changed King Uzziah. And again, remember that in the beginning, verse 4 of this passage, King Uzziah says that he was a good guy, that he did what was right in Yahweh's eyes, but something changed. Pride changed. Now, I want to talk about what happened now to King Uzziah. We see here again that Yahweh struck this man because of his pride, struck him with leprosy. After this, we find that he had to live in a separate home, away from the palace, away from the temple, and away from everybody. He was quarantined forever. He was isolated forever because of his sickness. You see, it spreads, and he was quarantined for this reason. Now, one of the best ways to minimize the spread of sickness is by hand washing. Believe it or not, the Bible speaks about hand washing. Now, in a roundabout way, I'm not going to say it's a perfect match, but it's good enough for me anyway. So we see in Exodus 30, beginning in verse 18, that washing was an important part in the Levitical priesthood. Exodus 30, 17 through 21, it says, "And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, You shall also make a laver of brass." This is called a sea at one point. "And his foot also of brass, and wash withal. And ye shall put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and ye shall put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands," notice, hands and feet thereon. "When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when you come near to the altar to minister, to burn it, offerings made by fire unto Yahweh, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations." So we find here that Yahweh commanded Israel to do what? Yahweh commanded Israel to make a laver of brass, a sea, that would be used for washing. It would be used to wash the hands and wash the feet. Find here that it was used by Aaron and his sons, by the priests, whenever they would approach Yahweh in worship. This included when they would go into the tabernacle and also when they would burn offerings on the altar. Now, what was the punishment for neglecting this command? What does Scripture say? In fact, it says it twice here. What does Scripture say? Yahweh says here that they die not. See, you believe it's important to Yahweh that they would follow this command? Yahweh said if you come in and before you do that, you wash, and if you don't, you're going to die. So that was a punishment for neglecting this command. So how would we apply this to us? Well, I believe this example shows that Yahweh's concerned about good hygiene, especially when we come before him in worship. That's the application I make here. I believe Yahweh is concerned about good hygiene when we come before him in worship. I also believe that washing your hands leads to better health. You know, an example of this, according to some historians, while the Jews were not immune to the bubonic or black plague, they were not, some say, severely affected by it. And the speculation is this was due to the religious or ritualistic washings. Again, so just hand washing. The Jews are very big with this. Some of it's kind of Talmudic, but other is based on what we find within the Bible. But nonetheless, many say historically that they were not as impacted. Why? I believe because of good hygiene that the Jews understood. You know, I've said that everything within Yahweh's word has a meaning and purpose. I believe that. I believe everything within Yahweh's word has meaning and purpose. Every Torah command that we find within the word has meaning and purpose. Sometimes we don't really understand what the meaning or purpose may be, but I can assure you it has meaning and purpose. And again, as we see here, this would include sickness, how to avoid sickness, whether it's the cold, whether it's the flu, whether it's COVID, whether it's something else. We find here some very basic concepts of how to avoid the spread of sickness. So what are those? Three things. Quarantining, right? We see examples of that where they said to quarantine, covering the upper lip, so not the bottom lip. Wouldn't do much good to cover just the bottom lip. Cover the upper lip and washing. Washing, so washing your hands, practicing good hygiene. I'm going to transition now and talk about another reason why we should be doing this. So we've looked at the biblical commands. We understand the process. We should. Again, quarantine, right? Covering the upper lip. So put a mask on if you're sick. And if you must, and I emphasize the word must, be with others. And then good hygiene through washing. But I believe that there's maybe even a deeper reason for this, a more critical reason, more important reason, more essential reason why we should be doing this. And that is because we are commanded to love one another. We are commanded to love one another. So here's what Yahshua says in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 36. It says, Master, which is a great commandment of the law? Yahshua said unto him, you shall love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And by the way, it says here, all on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, some people say the law is not necessary. And yet, shockingly, Yahshua says otherwise. Yahshua here defines the two greatest commandments within the word. One is to love Yahweh. Two is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, part of loving our neighbor, in my mind, is doing them no harm. Would you all agree? Part of loving our neighbor, part of loving our brother, part of loving our sister, part of loving those around us would include doing them no harm. I believe doing them no harm would also include then doing everything within our power to avoid getting them sick if we're not well, if we're knowingly sick. This again would include quarantining. This would include covering lip through a mask and practicing good hygiene. Now, to make sure I'm on the right path, I want to take a real quick impromptu poll here. Real, it's not scientific, very quick. Raise your hand if you enjoy getting sick. There is always one. There is always one. But that was the only one. So, based on this very scientific poll, nobody likes getting sick. Nobody likes getting sick. As believers, part of loving our neighbor then includes doing them no harm, and this would include not being reckless by jeopardizing their health. by socializing when we're knowingly sick. And I know it happens. I see it every year. And look, I understand it. I really do. I understand it. Maybe they're youngsters and it's hard. It's really hard for them. And I understand. I got two myself, although they're not so little anymore. But then again, maybe you've driven 17 hours and maybe you just love people. And maybe you just can't stand to be away from people. You've driven all the way from California to be here, or maybe from Australia. I don't know. Of course, you wouldn't drive then, but you came all that way. And now you have to sit in your room. That's awful. It really is. I mean, it's kind of a sad state, but scripturally, again, we're not to do any harm. And if we shouldn't be doing any harm, we should do everything we can to avoid getting other people sick. So the next time we're sick, we're not feeling well, I would ask that we consider what Scripture says. And Scripture says if we're contagious, quarantine. If we have to be around others, put a mask on, cover the upper lip, and practice good hygiene. Yahshua provides another point of view in Matthew 7, verse 12. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them, so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Many people call this the passage the golden rule. In short, Yahshua says here that we should treat others as we want to be treated. Again, real simple concept. It's not complicated. As we want other people to treat us, we should be willing to treat them the same way. So when it comes to sickness of others, how do we want to be treated? When it comes to the sickness of others, how do we want to be treated? Well, the answer is pretty simple, and that is we would ask that they refrain from getting us sick. It's real simple. And again, we do this by practicing the biblical concepts, principles we find within Scripture. Quarantining, covering our upper lip, and practicing good hygiene. Again, nobody's interested in getting sick, especially at the feast. So let's apply Yahshua's reasoning here. If we are not interested in getting people sick, or if we're not interested in getting people sick, we should not jeopardize the health of others by socializing with them when we are sick. Every time we go around when we're knowingly sick, we are knowingly jeopardizing the health of others and not following, I believe, the words of our Savior, where he said that we should follow this golden rule. Beyond the Torah commands, I believe jeopardizing the health of others by not quarantining when we're knowingly sick or in violation of Yahshua's teachings. Not just the Torah commands, but of Yahshua's teachings. Now, Paul in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3, provides a similar message. He says there, it's from the NIV, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This is one of my favorite passages by the Apostle Paul. He speaks about how we should be serving and considering the needs of those around us more than our own needs. And that's a hard thing. That's a really hard thing for human beings, because normally we're focused on us. We're most concerned about us. But Scripture says we should be more concerned about those around us. Not us. Those around us. That's the message we find here. We're to be more concerned not about us and our own wants, our own needs, but about the welfare of others. So how do we apply this message on health and holiness? If we're more concerned about others, we will not be jeopardizing their health by choosing to socialize with them when we are knowingly sick. We're not going to do it. We're going to say, no, I'm going to follow Scripture, which means I must isolate myself until I'm feeling better, until I'm feeling better. Being around others when we're knowingly sick, again, is not showing concern. As we see in the Torah, when we're not feeling well, we should again quarantine. This is simply, in my mind, not only following Scripture, but showing decency to those we should care about. I want to share with you two more passages along these same lines. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 24 says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Now, some of you may feel the right to be around others when you are knowingly sick. You may feel that right. You may feel like you are justified by being around others when you are knowingly sick. Maybe you justify it by saying, or Yahweh wants me to be here to worship him. Maybe you say, I've driven 17 hours and I need to be there. You know, whatever the reason. I know people who believe that they are justified by being around others knowingly, being knowingly sick. But as we find here from Paul, would you say that's beneficial or constructive to the body of Messiah? Yahweh's, he's given us commandments to minimize the spread of sickness. He's given us commandments again, quarantine, covering the lips, washing your hands. I think we would all agree that Yahweh does not view the passing of germs and jeopardizing one another's health as constructive. I don't see that. Why would he give commandments of isolating if he was okay with us sharing our germs? It just doesn't make sense. So, again, this is not, we're really in violation of Scripture when we're doing things like this. When we're knowingly sick and we're jeopardizing the health of others, we are in a violation of what we find here from the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to share one more passage. I'm not sure how long I've gone. This is probably a bit shorter, but that's fine. Romans 13, verse 10. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So again, we find here Paul speaking, writing anyway. He says, love does no harm to our neighbor, to those around us. By now, I'm sure we all understand the point here, but I want to drive this home for just another moment. As believers, we should never think of ourselves before others. We should never think of ourselves before others. But if we are choosing to socialize when we are knowingly sick, we are choosing ourselves above others. That's just the reality of the situation. If we knowingly are sick and we still choose to be around others because we don't want to be alone, because maybe we want to have fun, again, maybe we feel justified, I believe we are in violation of doing harm to others. And that's not something we should be doing as believers. If we're getting people sick because we refuse to quarantine, we are doing harm to our neighbor and not following what we find in Scripture. Again, the Torah says, this is not me saying it. This is not me saying it. The Torah says when we're not feeling well, we should quarantine, we should isolate, we should cover our lip, we should practice good hygiene, and we should be concerned about those around us. And if we're not doing this, we're not aligned with Scripture. Now, I want to, since we're, I don't know, what are we, about 3 weeks, I guess, away from the feast, I want to share with you a few tips. Some of these tips are what we can do today. Some of these tips are what we can do at the feast to avoid getting sick. Some of these tips are what we can do to avoid spreading sickness to others. So tips for improving our immune system. Or your immune system, to receive adequate sleep and exercise. So we should start that right now. We should make sure that we're getting good sleep, that we're getting good exercise. Drink plenty of water. Choose healthy food options. Choose foods or supplements with vitamin C, D, A, and E. From my research, those are the big ones. There's others, but those are the big ones. Vitamin C, just some examples here. Citrus fruit, strawberries, bell peppers, spinach, broccoli. You didn't know you were going to get a meal plan today, did you? But here it is. Vitamin D, sunlight, fatty fish, mackerel. We all love mackerel, right? I know some do. Fortified foods, milk, cereal, egg yolks, vitamin A, carrots, sweet potatoes, spinach, kale, and vitamin E, nuts, seeds, spinach, and broccoli. So those are just some of the foods. I mean, there's obviously more, and this is not an all-exhaustive message on good foods we should be, but those are some good tips. So tips for improving your immune system. So this is a continuation. Choose foods or supplements that contain zinc. Zinc's a big one from what I understand, such as meat, seeds, nuts, whole grains. Choose foods or supplements to maintain good gut health. That's important. I'm learning that as I get older, especially the last year, including things like yogurt and kefir and sauerkraut and kimchi and other fermented foods, all of which I really dislike, by the way. Add elderberry to your diet, which is commonly used to help reduce the severity and duration of colds and flus. And consider other immune boosters. There's others. I mean, this is, again, just a very short list, but as believers, we should try to be healthy for the feast, and these are things we can do now to begin a journey of health. So tips for overcoming or avoiding sickness. So continue getting adequate sleep and exercise, drinking plenty of water, selecting healthy foods, consider supplements to boost your immune system. So this would be like what we can do at the feast. Wash hands frequently with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, especially before eating and using the restroom. Use alcohol-based hand sanitizer when hand washing is not possible. By the way, we're going to have hand sanitizers here. We have many bathrooms here. We have gloves for the buffet. I'm so excited. We have all of these great preventative methods this year. Last one here is refrain from touching the face, as I just did, especially the eyes, nose, and mouth to prevent the transfer of germs. So here's what we can do if we are sick. If we are sick. Or what we can do maybe as an assembly. So regularly clean. And we got that fogger this year that hopefully will help minimize some of this. Disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces such as doorknobs, light switches, smartphones. I hear smartphones are some of the most unclean items we can touch. And countertops. Always cover your mouth and nose with a tissue or the inside of your elbow when you cough or sneeze. Dispose of the tissue immediately and wash your hands afterwards. And last one, the big one here I underlined because it's the best. Is the best preventative method of spreading sickness. And that is when showing signs of sickness, quarantine, isolate, stay in your tent, stay in your room, and wear masks when you must be around other people. I want to close by simply saying this. I hope and pray that this upcoming feast is a blessing for everybody. And that's really the main driver for this, because I want this feast to be healthy. I want people to come. I want people to be able to rejoice and to enjoy the feast. And we do this when we follow these very basic principles we find within the Word. And they're not bad things or good things, because Yahweh's given these items to us. Yahweh has said, do X, Y, and Z. So we just need to follow Yahweh's plan. We need to follow Yahweh's measures. And I believe if we do that, we're going to have a blessed feast. And may Yahweh bless you.